And I've been a mover all my life, so I appreciate that microphone for sure. And boy, I enjoyed all that good singing. And in a day when there's songs about everything under heaven except for our Lord and Savior, I appreciate them Jesus songs. Amen. And it truly is all about Him. And I was in a meeting not long ago, and I heard something that blessed my heart, and I'll say it to you. You know, our Bible's a hymn book. It's all about Him. And anywhere in that Bible, if you ain't seeing Jesus, you ain't looking at it right. He's in there somewhere. It's been all about the Lord from the beginning, and it will be all the way to the end. And if we just see Jesus, I promise you that'll fix everything going on in our lives. So I appreciate that good singing. I caught the tail end of the Sunday school message, and I appreciate that. I believe the brother's back over there. Appreciate that, sir. And boy, there's some truth in that. If we as the church get right, I promise you revival will come. Amen. And I'm still just crazy enough to think that God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. It don't matter what's going on in Washington. Boy, if the church will just get in position where God can, they still God with plenty enough power. Amen. That He could do something in these days. And so it's a joy to be here. I count this a great honor. I thank the world of your pastor. We've never met till today, but we have a lot of mutual friends. And I did see him at a tent meeting one time, but there's a lot of folks around him, and so that he probably don't even remember. But boy, I've caught several of his messages, and so I appreciate the ministry of this church. And there's a lot of pastors and preachers, I would imagine, that tune in because preachers need preaching too. And so we appreciate you folks around here. What an honor it is to be here today. Grab your Bibles, Luke chapter number 22. Luke chapter number 22, and we'll certainly stand for the reading of God's Word. When you found your place, and I'll say this, y'all don't know me from Adam, and I don't know you. It might be best that way in a lot of ways, but I will let you know this. I have a precious wife named Shane, and then we have three children, four, two, and a newborn. And our newborn's having a little spat and nothing too major, but y'all know how that goes. And so they're back over at our dear friend's house. Brother Tim's with me this morning. His wife's helping my wife with all that acid reflux stuff and everything else that happens to them babies. And so you pray for them. Somebody told me this morning, they said, "Brother, we're praying for you. You're preaching. We know you need it." I said, "Well, I won't argue." I said, "But my wife might need more prayers." And so she's got them. Hopefully they'll be with me tonight. But that's our little precious family. And we just thankful God gave us a little place to serve. Try to magnify Jesus in evangelism for the glory of God. And we honored to be here. Luke chapter 22 this morning, verse number 54. Probably be a familiar text when you see it. But I got this is the burden the Lord's put on my heart. Look at verse 54. "Then took they him and led him, brought him into the high priest's house." Watch this little phrase now. "And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were sat down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, 'This man is also with him.' And he denied him, saying, 'Woman, I know him not.' And after a little while, another saw him and said, 'Thou art also of them.' And Peter said, 'Man, I am not.' And about the space of 1 hour after another," watch this now, "confidently affirmed, saying, 'Of a truth, this fellow was also with him, for he is a Galilean.'" Let me just stop and say this morning. The world's paying a whole lot more attention than we realize. They may not act like it, but they're watching. They want to see if we're real. They knew all about Simon Peter. Verse 60, "And Peter said, 'Man, I know not what thou sayest.' And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, 'Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice.' And Peter went out and wept bitterly. By the help of the Lord, for just a little while this morning, I want to preach on this thought. Living outside his view. The danger of living outside his view. Let us pray. Our Father, Lord, we do come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for the privilege that it is to be here. Thank you, God, for the good songs that we've heard about our Savior, about our Lord. Thank you, God, for these precious people that have come today, God, visitors from all across America, even across the waters, Lord. How we thank you, God, for their heart to come. How we thank you, God, for mercy and grace. Dear Lord, we ask you now today, God, may you be with us. Lord, it's wonderful that all these people are here. But dear God, all is vain. Bless the Spirit of the Lord. Tabernacles with us. Holy Ghost, you're the honored guest. May you walk these aisles. May you exalt Christ. Lord, he certainly must increase, so we must decrease. Lord, to be honest, Lord, the thought that's been flooding my heart lately is, Lord, you're not just the main attraction. God, you're the only attraction. I pray that you would be high and holy lifted up. God, may sinners be saved. May saints be encouraged, stirred, convicted, whatever we need. Dear God, may we leave different than we came in. May we leave truly saying we've not heard from a man, but we've heard from heaven. Help us today, Lord, bind the enemy. Grant great victory in the house of God. Lord, I pray you'd be in my home church, men of God all across this country. Dear God, I pray you'd bless my precious wife and children. Lord, till I get back, and we'll give you the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You can be seated. Well, I understand that when you come to a text like this, and especially when you mention that we're talking about a man and a text where someone got away from God, fell into sin, allowed the devil to trick them in some avenue or aspect of their life, there is a danger in Baptist churches. Now, I don't know about nobody else, but I've been a Baptist since 9 months before I was born. Can I get a witness? I can't pick on something I don't know, but I know Baptist. And here's what we'll think. Well, praise God, that preacher must be preaching to them lost folks that are here today. Well, he must be preaching to them young folks that are here today. Well, he must be preaching to some of them new Christians that are here today that don't know much about the Lord, and maybe they don't know that much about the Bible. But now, as for me, I've been saved a long time, or I really know that Bible, or I really got a good education on the Word of God, or I really know how to pray. And if we're not careful, we will excuse ourselves out of a text like this. But could I say today, I'm not just preaching to one particular group of people, but the Lord has a word for everybody. Amen. I was in a church and a lady come up to me and she said, "I'm so glad you're here." I said, "Praise God." She said, "Boy, preach hard to them." I thought, well, all right. I wasn't sure where we was headed. She turned around and she said, "There's some people in here that really need preaching, so you preach to them." I went and sat down beside my wife and chuckled. She said, "What was that all about?" I said, "I'm preaching to one today." Amen. But listen, there's something in this text for everybody. You say, "But preacher, I just don't think that could happen to me." I understand a portion at least of what you're saying today. I have no desire in my heart. I have no thought at all of wanting to come to the place in my life where I fail the Lord or where I miss the Lord. I would like to think that I'm praying and reading and walking in the things of God. I want to be able to think that there would be no portion of me that would back up on God at any point in time. I want to go forward. But could I say today that I am not, I ain't even coming close to Simon Peter, and neither is any of the rest of us in the building. Could I just remind you, this is the man that saw the Lord transfigured on the mountain. This is the man that saw the Lord. He heard it all. He felt it all. He saw it all. I mean, man, he saw the dead get up. He saw the lame be healed. John said, all we got is Matthew to John that's recorded of what he did. But if it was all wrote down, it wouldn't even be able to be held in the ink and the paper. I mean, we're talking about a God that did more than even just a thimble's what we know. And Peter was there for the majority of it, no doubt. And this man that literally walked with the Son of God in human flesh and experienced all of that, that same
was able in a moment to wreck things in his life because he got outside the view of the Lord. And so here's my heart this morning. If it could happen to Simon, it could happen to us. If somebody on his level could have that get messed up in his life, none of us here today, no matter who you are, how close to God, how long you've been saved, any single one of us could get messed up before nightfall. Boy, there's benefits to being inside his view. Remember this phrase, and I'll get right into it this morning. But small actions carry major consequences.
Yes, they do.
And consequences can be good or they can be bad. Just small things like reading your Bible, praying daily, come to church, be accountable, do the small things right. The same way it benefits a ball team if you're a team player and you do the small things well. It's no different in the spiritual realm. But if you start backing up on them same small things, they'll either push you to God or they will pull you away from God. Peter did not wake up one day and say, let me just go crazy and fail God. There was a lot of small actions before he ever got in the mess he was in. Let me show you how Peter left him, and then we'll look at how Jesus found him. And I'll be out of the way. Notice with me, in Peter leaving him, there was some actions that got him there. There were some stages to it. Number one, he got lofty with his dedication. Verse 33, and he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. What do you mean, preacher? Well, it was such a big, it was so offensive to the other gospel writers that Matthew and Mark both record this as well. And here's what happens looking at the other gospel accounts and tie this together. There was a day that the Lord was teaching his disciples. He almost, in almost a fatherly way, he was giving them some parting words. He was letting them know, I'm fixing to leave out here. The way Moses talked to Joshua, the way Elijah talked to Elisha. And then we find here the Lord is preparing his disciples because he's fixing to die and go away. And they're going to be the foundations of the church. And so he's trying to get them ready. But we find here that when the Lord is talking and he's saying, listen, here's what's going to happen. And all of you's going to get hurt. And you're going to be scattered abroad as a sheep with no shepherd. All of a sudden, Peter interrupts him. You look at your Bible and he says, excuse me, Lord. He said, all the rest of them may run away, but as for me, I'm not going nowhere. I'm going everywhere you go. Could I break that down for you in good mountain language we can understand in Tennessee? Here's what Peter's saying. He's saying, now, I don't know about the B team over here, Lord. These boys are a bunch of wash-ups. They the practice squad. They the JV league, if you will. They probably will run out. But listen, I'm the best you got. If they'd have wore pants like we do in our day, you know what country people do? The double tug. Whose truck's that? Just bought it. It's mine.
Amen.
That's Peter right now. Hey, Lord. Rest of them, they ain't quite got it figured out. But you know as well as I do, I'm the big apostle. You say, oh, come on, preacher. You look at your Bible. They was just arguing a few seconds before this. Jesus says, one of you's going to betray me. None of them think they're going to betray him. They're too busy arguing about which one's the best.
Yeah.
Sound like a good Baptist church. Say amen.
Amen.
And Peter says, hey, I don't know about them. And Jesus looks at him. And he says, get thee behind me, Satan. Could I say this? We're never more like the devil than when we're filled with pride. Man, we major on 7 or 8 big sins in Baptist churches as a whole, and they're wrong, and we need to deal with them. I'm with you on that. But listen, we always was kind of sweet that gossip like the brother was talking about. How about pride? Pride is the original sin. Dr. Adrian Rogers said it well. Every sin derives, it has the derivative of pride. It's the root of all sin. It always pushes us one way or another. Every sin comes out of some form of pride. And Peter, the first way he got in a mess, he got to bowing up instead of bowing down, and he forgot where the Lord found him and what grace did in his life to take him off a boat fishing for regular fish and to make him a fisher of men. He forgot that everything good in his life was all God and not himself. And ladies and gentlemen, could I say to you today, the same God that had done that in Peter's life is the same God that has been that good in our life. If you're saved, clothed, and in your right mind, got a good marriage, got good children, got the blessings of God, have health in your body, you ain't out wrecking you, you don't have needle tracks, you ain't drunk yourself into a stupor last night and don't remember, if you have a good mind and a good life, it is nothing to do with you and me. It matters not how much we know God. It's all about the grace of God and what God has done in our lives. But boy, if we forget that and we start thinking we're doing this thing, we're already in step one of how we're going to get outside the view of God. Number two, I find this, he was not just lofty with his dedication, but he was lengthy in his distance. Look at verse 54. And Peter followed afar off. How many of you would agree with this statement with the preacher this morning? The hardest thing, it's easy, but it's hard. As far as fighting our flesh, the hardest thing you'll ever do is get saved. I mean, you think about the turmoil you went through. Man, people are terrified. What's people going to say? I don't know about this. I don't know about that. And you have this war that goes on the inside. And then you get saved. And it's like, how's I waiting on? This is wonderful. Amen. But boy, it's a fight with that flesh to get lost so you can get saved. Well, the hypocrites. Well, all that we go through. Could I submit to you the second hardest fight we'll ever have is staying close to God. Because inside his view, all them promises and all them blessings in our Bible are applied. But when we're outside the view of God, it doesn't matter about that because we have disqualified ourselves in those moments because we're not living inside the boundaries of the Word of God. So here's what I'm submitting to you. If you get lofty where you think you can do it, why in the world would you fight to stay close to God? If it's such a war for you and Jesus to be this close, hooked arm in arm, if we're this close, where's the devil getting in? Yeah.
Amen. Well said.
But it's the greatest struggle of our life, no matter how long you've been saved, no matter what age you are, no matter how you get your where you think you are in life, every one of us have this struggle to stay here. But if you think you can slide over a little ways and handle some of it yourself, why fight that fight? Why not just ease off? And that's what a lot of people do. Might I submit this question too? How far was afar? Well, I ain't preaching up in Yankee land, so y'all understand this lingo.
Amen.
Afar's like yonder. Where's yonder? Well, over yonder. Man, if you ain't country, don't take no driving directions from me. I'm going to tell you to go down there by Johnny's store, go over yonder about two blocks, take another turn by the barn and go down yonder and it'll be on the left. All kidding aside, how come the Lord didn't give us anything? How many of you believe the Holy Spirit wrote your Bible? Got an inspired, perfect Word of God.
Amen.
Then why didn't he say 10 foot? Why didn't he say he was 100 yards away from the Lord? Why did he say he followed afar? I'll tell you why, because here's human nature. Peter said Peter was 10 steps from the Lord, we'd go 9.5. Now I know there's always some Baptists say, not me. I know. God bless you, you're so spiritual. But for the rest of us, we fight in that war with the flesh. And we think, well, if Peter didn't get in a mess till he was 10 steps, I'll go nigh so I'll enjoy all I can enjoy without getting in a mess. So how far is afar? How far is too far? I'll tell you what the Spirit of God is saying to us. Anything up pipe, this is too far. A half a step, you don't have the same strength. You don't have the same bond. And the devil can get between you. And once he's between us, he throws up circumstances. He started talking to Peter. He said, the Lord's going to die. Who's going to take care of you? They crucify him, they're going to kill you. You'll have nobody to stand up for you. You're nothing without him. He's failing you. He don't love you. Because see, once there's something between you and the Lord, now you can't see Jesus so clearly. You can't see the face of God so clearly. And the devil tries to get some kind of wedge to then get between us and God. And then he goes to talking because the battle's here. You get lofty, you're going to get lengthy. But then lastly, we find this on how he left him. Then he got loose with his denials. Look at verse 57. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. Verse 58, man, I know him not. Verse 60, I know not what thou sayest. It's a threefold denial. It starts with him saying, I don't know who Jesus is. But then he comes around and says, I don't know who I am. Could I just say this? This is how America is in the mess she's in today. Amen. You talk to young people, I'm 32 years old. You talk to folks my age, 40 and below crowd, they can't even define Jesus Christ. In some of y'all's days of growing up, they may not have went to church. They may not have had a membership. A pastor, they may not have cracked a Bible every Sunday, much less during the week, but they all, America had a God awareness. Oh, I know who God is. Oh, the Lord Jesus. Now, I may not be a Christian, but Jesus is the perfect man, the preacher said. God, man, he died on a cruel old rugged cross. He bled for my sins. And most people even say, I plan to get saved one day. There was at least a God awareness. But we've lost something our nation had from the beginning. Our founders had a God awareness, and it was there for so long. But guess what? In the days we're living, you go talk to them and ask them. They'll say, well, Jesus was some guy, I guess. Or I heard he was some man in history. I don't know much about him. I don't know. You know, they can't even define it. Listen to me today. If you don't know who he is, it is impossible to know who you are. If you walked in here today and your life's a mess, you don't feel satisfaction, you're floating, you don't really know how to identify yourself, the world's got you in a chaotic mess in your mind, and you can't really figure out purpose, much less anything about you, and you're miserable, and you're floating, and you're just all around. Can I tell you today in love? You enough to tell the truth. And the truth is, until you know who he is, it is impossible to know who you are. And as a Christian, if we lose having our eyes completely on him, and we don't keep a clear view of who of God is, and we don't keep this thing as a Jesus first, and we don't keep our life prioritized as God being at the top, him being first in our life, nothing will work out, nothing will make sense. We find that Peter, who at one time was enjoying all of this, is now in a mess. Why? Because he either willingly forgot, or fear's causing him to lie. But one way or another, this man is now saying, I don't know who he is. And then he goes down to saying, I don't know who I am. Now this is interesting. Think with me, church. Peter saw the dead get up out of a grave. Anybody ever, don't raise your hand because I don't want to know. We've never seen the dead get up. I'm not God, and neither are you, and none of us have walked planet Earth with the Lord Jesus in a physical body and saw that. But I'm going to be honest with you. If I ever saw the dead be raised from the grave like Lazarus, how are you going to forget that? They're pressing Peter. He said, I don't know who he is. I don't know who I am. And then watch this. He says, I don't even know about all them many mighty works that he did. Verse 60. So Peter's either lying in fear, or he is really, the devil is really so good that he has convinced Peter it was all some kind of emotional imagination of experience. Peter ain't here, so I can't speak for him. But I'd venture to say that it's probably a lot to do with fear. Because have you ever been in a place where you know what's right, but you'll pretend like you don't? Yeah. Young folks, you deal with this at school. Peer pressure is such a... We just did youth camp last week. Man, some of the things I heard preacher just broke my heart about what they deal with at home. Then they go to school, and then they got this pull, and they've got that pull. And man, you get somewhere, and you feel like you're all alone, and everybody's staring at you, and God seems a million miles away, and the devil tries to get between you and God, and he tries to get you lost. And then when you feel like you're all by yourself, you'll say things and do things, not because you really believe them, but because fear is a real thing. And faith ain't exist together. Folks can say it does all you want to. They may run together for a moment, but a choice must be made. In every moment in this Bible that great men rose to the occasion, there was fear. But faith spoke up when fear gave questions, and they believed God. Moses answered in faith. Joshua answered in faith. Abraham answered in faith. David answered in faith. Elijah answered in faith. Elisha answered in faith. The prophets answered in faith. The disciples, even after the Lord died, when the Lord spoke to them again, their answer was in faith, and they trusted the Lord. And there's just the reality today that if you lose who He is, you'll lose who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll go to denying some things you never dreamed you would. Amen. Because we really ain't as bad as we think we are. Yeah. And by that I mean bad to the bone. We're not near as tough as we like to portray. The truth is, all of us have a lot of coward on the inside. I always love how adults always talk about kids and say, oh, man, all that peer pressure, they just want to fit in, they just want to be popular. I just wish somebody'd stand up for Jesus. And I hear you, I get all that. And then I watch adults, and they all do the same things that the other adults do.
Yeah. Amen.
Kids get trends, and everybody's wearing these white tennis shoes now, and Lord, mullets are everywhere. The 70s, I guess it was, is coming back. One person does it, now everybody's doing it. I don't know how that works. But you ever noticed? Men and women do the same things. There for a while, everybody had them big baggy pleated suits. You remember them? It worked real good for folks like me that are overweight and got big legs. Amen. Then I went to the suit store one day, and I said, hey, where's them? I said, that 46 jacket. I said, all I see is slim cut. That guy said, well, that's what we sell. I said, friend, I can't get in that. I said, where's the classic fit? He said, oh, we got a few over here. And we go back to the far back right corner, and there's like seven suits hanging there.
Yeah.
I said, what happened to them? That just ain't in style no more. And I made this statement. I said, buddy, you probably going to go out of business. I know a whole lot of preachers. That's all they're going to wear. He kind of chuckled. Now, I preach to you today, I have a flat front, tailored fit suit. Not even a classic. I don't even have one on today. Why? Well, I guess we all just decided if that's what everybody's wearing, I'm just going to wear it. That may be a silly little example, but hear what I'm telling you today. All of us have a desire on the inside. You pretend if you want to, but man, nobody wants to be left out. Nobody wants to be the loser. Nobody likes being singled out. But in serving God, we will have to swim upstream at times. You will have to make some hard decisions. You will have to go through some hard, difficult circumstances, and we're absolutely no match for the devil on our own. We better understand that if Peter outside the view of God could cower and bow in fear, then we much more than even Peter must stay inside the spiritual view of God and make sure we're right with God and we're close with God, because He doesn't leave us nor forsake us. He's not moving. But there is a positional possibility in our life where He doesn't move, and you can't lose yourself. We know all that, but you can slide away from God and miss out on the blessings and the protection of the will of God. We can't do it without Him. How Peter left him. But watch how Jesus found him, and I take my seat. Number one, I find this. He was gentle in his complexion. Verse 61, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. One of my favorite preachers of yesteryear is Dr. B.R. Lakin. Listen to him all the time. I thank the world of him. And listen to this statement he made, church. He said, now this was, mind you, he was 80 years old, fixing to go to heaven. He was preaching for Dr. Ray down there at Myrtle at the Camp Zion meeting. And here's what he said. He said, in the modern church, traveling around as an evangelist like I have been. Now, he traveled, I think, over 1,000,000 miles in his lifetime. So he knows what he's talking about. He said, from my experience, if anything's missing in the fundamental Baptist churches, he said, it's compassion. Man, we got everything right, and I'm glad we do. I'm for all of it. Living right, right Bible, right music, right dress, live clean, do right, love God. Man, we got it right. But sometimes if you ain't careful, you can be so right, we're wrong. Anything that causes us to turn our nose up, anything that causes us to bow up instead of bend down, man, there should be something inside of us. Grace don't puff you. Grace lowers you. And it ought to bring us down where we say, I once was lost like you. I was once messed up like you. Sin has wrecked my life before. I know where you're at. It may not be exactly the same, but hey, a God found me and changed me. He was gentle with me. Hey, God is righteous. God is holy. His greatest attribute is holiness. Hey, you better get right. Judgment's coming. Tell them the truth. Have fire in one eye. But listen, church, have a tear in the other. Don't just give them hardcore truth with no love. But stoop down where they're at and wrap some arms around them and say, I love you. But more importantly, God loves you. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying Jesus had such a look that it was firm, yet it was gentle. The only way I know how to describe that to you is if you had a good dad like I do. My dad's my hero. He's not a preacher, nothing like that. We don't have any in my family. But he's just a good man. And here's how my dad had a look, preacher. And it was, when I made him mad, that look terrified me. If you don't know what I'm talking about, trust me, it probably shows. But some of us, we got raised the old-fashioned way.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. I was in the fourth grade before I knew there's a number after one in discipline. Amen. I thought forever one's all there was. You got one warning. I mean, we raised different. But I never once questioned if my dad loved me. Never. Because he had such a way that he would sit me down and talk to me. And then he would discipline me. Listen, my dad did not excuse bad behavior, but he also didn't abuse me. Can I say spiritually, Jesus has never abused me.
Amen.
God's never just kicked me and stomped me down and spit on me in my low points. He's never excused any sin in my life. He's not sweeping things under the rug. He is a holy and just God.
Amen.
But there's always a tear in that eye too. And I could just picture, I've been to Israel multiple times, and you can actually go to this place. And I could picture Peter out on the porch. It's a building about this size. And I can see the Lord in there as they have him, and they're fixing to judge him there. And he's fixing to head up Calvary's hill. And I can see as the Lord's already looking Peter's way. Now you hear me today. The Bible does not say that Peter looked at the Lord. He waved him down. He called his name. But when Peter fell and the cock crew third time, and he knew and he remembered the words of the Lord, he looked towards the Lord. But the Bible says Jesus was already looking his way. And the look and the love in his eye, it melted Peter down. Because you hear me today, rules without relationship always produces rebellion. That's how we lost a whole generation of young people. We told them 5 do's, 5 don'ts. But you know what? You can put all the pressure in the world you want, but you can't make nobody do nothing. Somebody told me the other day, they said, well, I know what my kids do. I got a tracker on their phone. They're kind of bragging. You know what I said? I said, do you realize that cell phone, you can turn it on a certain mode and you can leave it where they are and then they leave without it? Well, I'll call them and find out where they're at. Did you know you can put call forwarding on and you can call their number and it'll actually call another phone and they can pick it up and answer? Guys. I said, I hope your kids are. I said, but hear what I'm telling you. The only surefire way of knowing for sure that they're doing right is to teach them to love Jesus.
Amen.
I don't have to worry about my wife and what she does or doesn't do because I know she loves me. Love is a powerful thing that will produce proper behavior even when no one's around. It's controlling in the right way. And I can just see that Jesus is looking at Peter, and if he would have just had just all of this, if it was no relationship, no gentleness, if it was all judgment, Peter might would have bowed up and argued. The Bible says his heart melted. Just picture that, like when my dad says, "Son, I'm not even going to whip you today. I'm so disappointed. I'm not even going to do it. I'd rather him beat the devil out of me." Amen. To know I broke my dad's heart. Do you understand that when we fool around with the things of God, and when we're cold and we're outside His view, and we don't really love God, if there's ever been a day you love God, love the Bible, love church, love the things of God more than today, you are sliding outside of His view one step at a time. You don't wake up a drunk. You don't wake up blowing your family apart. Young people, you don't wake up a statistic in 24 hours, but you get there one little step at a time, one little problem at a time, one little hurt at a time that the devil lies to you about. But listen to me today, you're here and you say, "I got issues, I got bitterness, I've got struggles, I've got problems." Can I tell you something? Long before you ever started looking God's way, there was a God that was already looking your way. He knew you would be here, and He made sure you would be here, and He knew I would be here, and He set all this up, and He told me to preach this message. Why? Because before your eyes ever looked His way, there was a God with holiness yet love that was looking your way, and He said, "I'll be gentle with you today." The Bible says, "The goodness of God leadeth man to repentance." We need to know judgment's coming. We need to know hell's forever, and you don't want to go. But I also want to let you know there's a God that if you'll come His way, He's not just going to stomp you down and spit on you because of your failures, but he'll wrap His loving arms around you and say, "I can fix this. We're going somewhere from here on." And there's a God that'll be gentle in your life. He's full of mercy. Number two, I find this. How Jesus found Him. He was generous in His call. Let me read you something in John 21, and we'll end right here. John 21 and 12. Jesus saith unto them, "Come and dine." Help yourself, sister. Don't bother me. And none of the disciples durst ask Him, "Who art thou?" Knowing that it was the Lord. Come and dine. Watch this now. I'm done right here. Watch it. Watch how generous the Lord is with this sinner, Simon Peter. Peter gets mad. Peter gets bitter. How Peter got in this whole mess, you know how he got there? Because Jesus was going to do something in a way that he didn't want him to do it. Can I tell you how most Christians get out of church if you get out of church? Because God will do something or not do something the way you want it. It'll be a death that you beg God to not let come. It'll be a church hurt that you didn't deserve. It'll be a pastor that'll hurt you, or some of y'all have come here and you're wounded from somewhere else and you're here trying to heal. Oh yeah. It'll be a marriage that went south and you did nothing wrong, and you wonder, why in the world did God not just make your husband or wife that broke your heart act better? It'll be a wayward child and you raised them in church and you taught them the things of God, and while some other person was half-hearted Christian, played ball all the time, half come to church, and their kids are teaching Sunday school and you can't find yours. I'm just talking about real life. That's the only way I not preach. I just preach right down where we live. You say, what is even going on? That's why Peter left. Peter didn't leave because he's just some kind of terrible Christian, quote unquote, to use that word. But listen, Peter left because he got hurt. And sometimes hurt can go so deep it'll override all that miracles that you saw. We all know if we keep proper perspective this morning and we think about how God saved us, where He found us, how good He's been, the blessings of God in our life, we would never get outside His view. But if the devil can get your hurt to get bigger than the help God's give you and get you all messed up. And now we find Peter right here. You know what he does? He's sitting on a boat. Bible says he done took his overcoat off. He's half naked. They're fishing. They're backsliding. He's going back to his old life. One commentator said maybe the reason he went fishing is because he didn't think God would ever. Because the Bible says He was remorse. He went out and wept bitterly. That's conviction. Prior repentance already. Maybe he thought that because he failed, it was final and God couldn't use him. That's what the devil tells us, ain't it? So he's sitting on a boat, wallowing in his misery, thinking about what used to be and how he's blown it. But the Bible says that about that time, Jesus walked on the seashores of his life. And he called out, here it is, I'm done. He said, children, have you any meat? Now the Bible says that you go to the Sea of Galilee, it's dusky in the morning. It's dusky in the evenings. It's hard to see. They don't know it's the Lord. Here's how I know Peter's been humbled. He ain't lofty no more. Because Peter could have bowed up and said, well, the fish just ain't running. Well, it just ain't the right atmosphere. He could have made excuses. I'm the best fisherman. My daddy's got the enterprise here. If there was any fish, I'd be catching them. But you know what he said? He said, we've told all night and caught nothing. He got honest. But watch this. This is what will make all the difference this morning. We've heard in Baptist churches like this, we've heard more preaching that we need for 10 million lifetimes. Our problem's not in hearing the word, it's in doing something about it. The obeying part, that the blessing comes. Because then this stranger that's still annoys, he says, cast your nets on the right side. Peter says, man, we've been out here all night. He said, but, this one of them good buts, but nevertheless, at thy word. It's a big deal to throw them nets. I've watched them over there out the hotel balcony. That's a lot of work in the morning. They done been doing it all night. They tired. They're beat down. They got about that much faith left. And all of a sudden, 153 fish. I ain't got time to get into all of it, but if you study out Jewish culture, they believe there was 153 different fish in the Sea of Galilee because it represented every different of human being on planet Earth. Jesus let them catch one of every type because he's letting them know the gospel's fixing to go from everywhere. Amen. And I'm going to use you in your spiritual nets. He was letting Peter know it ain't over. It's just getting started. And he was generous. Peter couldn't even sense the voice. It had been so long. So it seemed in his mind. He couldn't tell the Lord with his eyes. It had gotten too foggy. But when you can't, hey, listen to me. When you can't see God and you can't seem to track God, you can always trust his heart. Amen. And when he saw them fish, he said, there ain't but one that could do that would be that generous. Amen. And he says, it is the Lord. He jumps out. He swims the shore. He leaves the rest of them again. But at least this time it was for good reason. Amen. He was so desperate that when Jesus did show up, he got honest. He got humble. How's he humble? Because he obeyed. If you're desperate enough this morning, that's the key.
Yes.
And you'll get honest. You'll get humble. You and me both, we all got knees coming in the church. I'm not preaching, I'm preaching with you. And we'll say, God, there's always room for me to get closer. I don't want the devil to wreck and ruin me. And you'll say, Lord, help me. You know what he's going to come by? Here's what he's going to say. Have you any meat? You're going to argue with God? You're going to tell him about what Fox News said and how bad the country is and young people and everything else? Or are we just going to say, Lord, I ain't been catching nothing lately. My joy's minimum. Maybe I'm full of pride. Maybe I've been arrogant, or maybe I've been loose and I've been on one side or the other. There's ditches on both sides. I've been so proud about my religion, you can't use me, and it's been dry. Or hey, I'm on the other side and I've been so loose and I've been so backslid, you can't use me. But you could just say, Lord, the truth is I don't have any meat. I got some real needs. I need help. There'll be a God that'll walk to right where you're at and ask you that question. That's what the Holy Ghost does when he applies preaching to our hearts. But then you got to do something when he says, well, throw your net on the right side. What if he says, come pray? You going to obey him or argue? What if he says, go get right with somebody? You going to obey or argue? What if he says, let go of something? Well, you going to say, well, God, so-and-so still gets to do that? Or are you just going to say, nevertheless, at thy word, my need is so important, I'm so desperate. I just want you, God, no matter what it costs. There's a God that'll be gracious or gentle. He'll be generous. If you like note taking, I'm not going to preach it. The Lord's let me know I'm done, but there's also a gracious God in His command. What He asked Peter to do, He gave him the grace to do it. Plumb right down to the call to preach in Pentecost. I don't know what God's asking you in your life. He could be trying to get rid of bad things. He could be trying to push you into good things. But I know this. The only safe place is inside the view of God. God don't have boundaries to keep us away from fun, but He has boundaries to keep us away from pain and a roaring lion and the devil. It's for our good. It's not because He don't want us to have fun. It's because He wants us to be favored. And inside the view of God, you'll find a gracious, gentle, and generous Savior. He's calling out to you today. I wonder what you're going to answer. You said, "Oh, preacher, He ain't coming to me." Oh, I promise you He is. Nobody's blew it more than Peter. But if He came looking for Peter, He's only going to be around him to be seen of men. He's going to heaven. He's limited on His time. But He thought enough of Peter to come by. He thinks enough of us to come by. We don't deserve it, but He's a God full of grace and mercy. Failure ain't final. If God's still talking and you'll just listen, run to Him. Let's stand all over the building. Preacher, is it okay if somebody comes and plays? Whatever they usually do, let's stand all over the building. Some's already came. Why don't you come this morning? Don't worry about what somebody else thinks. If they's to be honest, they probably need to come too. I told you, it applies to everybody. We all got more Simon Peter in us than we ever want to admit. Boy, we need God today. Let's get inside His view. Bring Him all your hurts. Brother Leonard Fletcher wrote it well. Just bring it all to Him. All your broken pieces, just bring it all to Him and pour your heart out to God. If you're here today and you're lost, listen, Jesus loves you. He'll meet you right where you're at. And in gentleness, He can fix in your life what you can't. Save your soul. Change your life. As they sing this morning, you mind the Lord. Whatever you need, you come.